And then it was a matter of, honestly, the way we grew from that is I went all in on an affiliate program.
Got it. Your own affiliate program.
Yes, my own affiliate program. And so if you think about it, people in the online space, they're used to affiliate marketing. And so that was just a really, really natural fit. And especially because they wanted to, you know, have their accounts paid for and, you know, whatever. And so that is honestly, Paulson, that is how we have grown so massively, is with our own affiliate program. I haven't done, I've never done a paid ad for our SaaS.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of our High Levels podcast called Spotlight Sessions. I'm so excited to have Roxanne Ray as my guest because it's a full circle. Roxanne is one of the first top players in the agency world that I met years ago. I want to say maybe like 2014, and she actually mentored me for some time, showed me how to do fulfillment, showed me all the mistakes that I can make in her journey as well. And we ended up going through several coaching programs, if I can remember correctly, and learned a lot together, always been a colleague. And recently, many of you might have noticed that I've taken over the Spotlight Sessions. And I thought about Roxanne because one of the things that I've seen her do as High Level kind of evolved is, you know, she's an established agency owner for many, many years. And the question always comes up of like, well, I'm already established. How do I transition into SaaS? So I thought Roxanne would be the perfect person to talk about this. And we're going to have a great, great talk today. Roxanne, without any further ado, give us a full intro of your journey. I personally know it myself. I've met your husband before. We went to Funnel Hacking Live and all these events and bunch of masterminds. And, you know, I feel like a friend, not even just as a colleague, but tell us about your story.
Well, first I want to say thank you so much for asking me to be on here with you, Paulson. It really is a full circle moment for me because I think back to even when you and I met, I was still very new in the grand scheme of things, right? Because it's been several years since then. So it feels like it was a long time in the beginning of my journey. And just growing up in this space, there's a lot of people who are in High Level right now who we have known for a long time. So it's really cool to still see familiar faces. And then to make that transition over to fully SaaS, which I know we're going to get into, but I did have my agency and I guess I still sort of do. I mean, I don't necessarily promote it and I don't advertise for it. People just know me by referral at this point. And I get to choose if I want to take them on as a client, but really the full focus is on our SaaS business and using High Level to make that happen. And so it's just been a really wild journey with lots of twists and turns up and down, in and out. And so I'm really excited to dive into that with you today.
Absolutely. So one of the biggest questions that I get, and I see this from far, like when I observe agencies making these transitions, they get a little weary about SaaS in general because it sounds too good to be true. Plus, you know, having a utility bill, is it really that stable? Don't they still cancel? And also the idea of going all in. Most people don't know how to go all in, even if they want to go all in. What was your thoughts maybe a couple of years ago when you first started off with SaaS? And I think you're getting the gold award winner. You're a plaque winner now, and you're at a new level and climbing as well. Like, but in the beginning, let's go back to the first 10 customers, if you don't mind. I know that was a while ago.
I remember the first, you always remember your first customers. You always remember your first customers. And I remember it was actually 12 customers that came on all at the same time. And this was back in the summer of 2020.
Okay.
And I think I remember you were still, I think you had been working for High Level for a little while and you were kind of getting your footing in High Level. And so we were still talking pretty regularly and I was sharing with you, I don't know if I'm going to go all in. I had just launched a high ticket coaching program. And so anyone who's done that, that's a big lift and a lot of work. But I had not really had the intention of going all in on SaaS at that time, but I had made a mention in my high ticket coaching program. Oh, I have this program. I use it for everything. It's like all in one. They're like, what is it? Tell us. We want to buy it too. And I was like, actually, you guys can buy it from me.
Yes.
So really that's how I launched my SaaS. Now, obviously part of that, I had my agency clients on it, but I wasn't like publicly, you know, going out and getting SaaS clients, right? It was just reserved for my agency clients. So I launched my SaaS, if you will, to my high ticket coaching students, and 12 of them jumped on board. I didn't even have a website. I had zero fulfillment. I was basically teaching them high level within the coaching program, and it was kind of a hot mess if I think about it. But you know what? 8 of those people are still with me today.
That's awesome. So like in this conversation, while you all are watching this, I can tell you my main topic is how to make that migration happen when you're already an established agency. The first thing that I can think of is putting together a beta group. And Roxanne, it sounds like you naturally put together a beta group of 12 people from your existing customers. Walk us through that journey. What was the first couple of months like? What did you offer? Like, what was the onboarding like? You know, what, you know, Give us the in and out of everything that we should know before we go launching a beta group.
Totally. Okay. Well, mind you, back then there were not workflows. Okay. We had the old like campaign triggers and all that. And so it was like in the beginning, if you will. And my coaching students were learning how I had basically used Facebook ads to launch my programs and my courses and things like that, and even my agency clients. So I simply made a snapshot of my whole account, my personal account. So not my agency account, but my personal account, my funnels, my emails, like all the things, really probably worth $10,000 easy. And I just gave it to them.
Wow.
Here's your account. Get it. So they were able to just get right in. I mean, I'm talking all the copy, like everything. Yeah. Now, granted, they obviously needed to edit it and make it, you know, customized for themselves. But that was I figured out right from the get-go, you do need to have some sort of snapshot. Give them something to work with.
Yeah.
So I would say from that summer, it wasn't until I want to say 8 months later that I actually hired my first SaaS employee to help me with the SaaS side of things. So I was just really honestly winging it. I did have in my coaching program, I did have other coaches I had hired to be part of that. And so I had one coach that was designated for tech support. And so she would handle a lot of the high level questions that came into there. And believe it or not, she is now an affiliate of mine. She has her own high level agency now, which is really cool.
Yeah.
She got her feet wet the same time I did with everything.
So what exactly was the offer for the beta? Was it like, hey, everything that I built for the last 5 years, here's it in one snapshot, and you charge them low ticket, mid ticket, high ticket? Give us like a understanding of like the package itself.
So again, this was totally by the seat of my pants. If I could do it over again, I'd do it a little different. But I gave them my whole account, and that was just part of signing up. I didn't even have an annual plan or anything. It was like monthly sign up and you get all this stuff. And it was $197 a month.
Oh, wow.
And that was it. And it was like,
right? That's insane.
And I saw it as sort of a value add to my high ticket coaching program, because granted, they had just spent, you know, $5,500 with me. So it almost felt like it was an extension of the coaching program in a sense. You know, obviously if that had just been the only thing I did, I would have charged way more for sure. But because it was an extension, that's why I did that.
Got it. Now, you said if you started it over, you would have done it a little different. What would that look like if you went back over for a lot of people that haven't taken that leap yet?
Oh, okay. Yeah, totally. So number one, I would have made sure I had an annual plan. because believe it or not, people take annual plans a lot. And I would have bonuses for people taking annual plans. And the bonuses people love to take for annual plans are any type of template or asset or like swipe file, anything that's going to help them move the needle, right? So I would have done that. I would have made sure I had an annual plan. I would have charged for a setup fee.
Interesting.
Yes, I would have, because now that I know what's involved, now granted, I don't always charge a setup fee now, depending on the type of client that joins me, yeah. But because what we do is upsell now. We just upsell for, you know, done for yous and other types of things that people need. But starting out, I would have made the offer much more clear in terms of like what they're getting from my account.
Yeah.
And then charge a setup fee is in a sense, basically paying for that snapshot of things, offered an annual plan and really pushed people to the annual plan. And that way I would have collected way more revenue up front. And maybe I could have hired that person
earlier
for the SaaS fulfillment a lot sooner.
Got it. That makes total sense. And this is something we preach a lot. Like right now, I launched a 5-day challenge for the community for folks that are brand new into the ecosystem. And I'm teaching them how to lean with just the missed call text back for $297 with an additional $297 setup fee with the intention to like land and expand in the business. So like 3-4 days later, call them back. Hey, notice that your web chat is not on. Your Google My Business is not on. All these other reviews are not on. Funnels are not on. Can I just add these things to you for free, even though you paid me $297 for the missed call text back? And it's a great way to have some clarity on the sales calls.
Yeah.
And you're not leading with like 5-6 different offers at the same time. So I'm glad you said, you know what? I will go back and charge a setup fee. And $197, how did you decide $197? Was it just like, you know what? That's just eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Let me get started. Or was it like, did you have like a great like strategy behind it for some reason?
I wish I could tell you there was a strategy behind it. It truly was like, let's pick this number out of the hat. Sounds great. I feel like the people who I'm going to be offering this to will accept that offer at that price. And, you know, I was also looking at the other players in the space. You know, we know the top players and I'm not going to name them by name. We all know who they are.
Right.
And I was looking at what they were charging and what they were offering and thought, okay, I want to be comparable. I definitely don't want to compete on price. So I'm not going to start at the bottom, but I don't want to go too high out the gate because I do want these initial people. Because it honestly, it really helped me do a better coaching program for those who were on my SaaS program.
Gotcha. And your coaching program, is that to agency owners or small business owners or coaches, consultants? Like, I don't remember.
It was mainly other coaches, okay. Course creators, you know, people in the online space. So they were looking for a solution. And if you think back 2020, most of us were using what, 4 or 5 different programs.
That's right.
And so I was able to help them eliminate all these duct tape programs into one. And that was just a big, big lift.
Got it. So going back to putting together a migration plan as an established agency, the first thing we talked about is having a beta group, learning from them, being the middle of the pack of the pricing, maybe having a setup fee, and ultimately getting feedback. And I know the onboarding went well because you still have 8 of those 12 people that came into your business. What is the next step as an established agency that somebody should consider? Like what happened after the 12 customers? Did you have a second launch? Was there a full, you know, another bigger beta? Like, what did that look like?
Yeah. So really after that first launch, anyone that would come on to our high ticket coaching program would be offered the SaaS. So we had some people trickling in from that. And then when I finally hired that first SaaS employee back in, it was February of 2021, that's when we started putting some systems and processes in place, right? We had SOPs, we had her doing a call, like the tech call for specific. So we kind of plucked it out of the coaching program and actually made it a separate thing, right? Yeah. So those who weren't on my SaaS weren't like, this call isn't necessary for me, right? I wanted to make sure they took advantage of everything. And then it was a matter of, honestly, the way we grew from that is I went all in on an affiliate program.
Got it. Your own affiliate program.
Yes, my own affiliate program. And so if you think about it, people in the online space, they're used to affiliate marketing. And so that was just a really, really natural fit. And especially because they wanted to, you know, have their accounts paid for and, you know, whatever. And so that is honestly, Paulson, that is how we have grown so massively, is with our own affiliate program. I've never done a paid ad for our SaaS.
And I have a couple of questions as we unpack this. So the first person you hired after that beta group, I assume it was like an account manager or a customer success person, right? Mm-hmm. That was kind of their role. So they initially they wore kind of multiple hats, and then you're trying to break it down later, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you said your strongest side of it was because you had a coaching program, is going down the affiliate path. And if you're watching and you're brand new to High Level, let me tell you a secret. We grew with the affiliate program ourselves. When we first launched, I wasn't part of the initial launch. So 2018 is when they launched. It was in 2019 early, I jumped in to the leadership team. But in end of 2018, what Robin, Alex, and Sean, and a couple of these guys were doing is they would go to all these masterminds of top agencies. So you get like the Rob Baileys, the Josh Nelsons, and Nick Robbins, and all these folks. And they would go there and do a demo and things like that. And we, in our initial first 1,000 customers, I believe, was all from these events, all built by the affiliate program. Tell us a little about the affiliate vision you had. What does that look like? What do those conversations even look like with those customers? And at what point of your book of business did you actually launch the affiliate program? Like, were you at 50? Were you at like right after that initial 12? Like, what does that look like?
You know, I'm trying to remember when we launched the affiliate. I want to say it was pretty soon after that first employee joined us.
Gotcha.
Because then bandwidth started to open up where we could, you know, for me personally, I could start, you know, looking at other things to do. So I want to say it had to have been around there. I know it feels like we've had it for almost the whole time. So it had to have been around there. And what that looked like is essentially creating the affiliate links. We originally started with first promoters.
And this is way before High Level's affiliate dashboard that you have today.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, there's none of those things existed in 2020.
No, it was definitely like, you know, Google, YouTube, figuring this thing out. How does this work? How do you even run these things? I mean, we got my employee. She's still with me today, by the way. And she is like my right-hand woman. And she and I got books. We're reading books about, you know, running affiliate program. I mean, we're doing all the things to figure this thing out. And then we launched. But when we launched, it didn't really take off at first.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. And so we then figured, okay, how can we get engagement? How can we get people excited about this? And so what we did is Roxanne offers a monthly affiliate call just for our active affiliates, where I basically teach them affiliate marketing. I teach them how to, you know, do social media and promote things with affiliate marketing. And I, you know, they can obviously use these skills for more than just our SaaS, right? But I think doing that is when things really started to pick up, and the excitement also picked up of, ooh, I can get other affiliates. And then we started saying, okay, if you get, you know, 4 people on your, using your affiliate link, you'll have your account paid for, right? The cost is covered. And we just, you know, you come up with these things as you go along. But I'll tell you, actually, now that I think about it, more than 50% of our sub accounts now have come in through affiliates.
Yeah. And it becomes a really big channel. By the way, we hit 30,000 users and we're like, oh yeah, we need to start doing affiliate management education. So now we have Q&As that we do almost every week. Kelsey Navalta, she runs that program, does an amazing job with it. But like you said, you do have to teach the affiliate marketing side to your affiliates if you're going to go down that route. And it becomes one of the largest organic method. And honestly, like paid ads, you're not dependent on paid ads anymore, because you're more consistent, and paid ads become just like a rocket every once in a while when you need that extra push. So tell us a little about the affiliate management in general. Like, is there, you know, do you have specific support for them? Did they have different onboardings? Like, what does the fulfillment of affiliates look like versus regular customers? And by the way, what about the agency customers? Like, how are you migrating them out of it? I want to also know that as well.
Okay, so with the affiliate, I did hire someone else. So she is sort of my like administrative assistant. So she helps with managing the affiliate program. So we do have an application process. You know, we pretty much accept everyone, but we want it to feel exclusive. Like, you do need to put some effort into this. So we do have an extensive application. She reviews those, then sends out, you know, an email accepting them with their affiliate link. They get added to a special group that only if the affiliates get access to, so they get invited to those monthly calls. And then she has an affiliate newsletter that goes out once a month. We've done, you know, competitions. And kind of the usual things you expect from an affiliate program. I by no means, we are not perfect with this. So let me just be very clear about that. There's a lot of room for improvement, but I'm pleased with where it's gone, with just sort of kind of flying by the seat of our pants. I really feel like this whole journey, Paulson, has been like just flying by the seat of our pants.
Well, that's the one thing I've always observed about you from day one is like, you're an action taker and you're just going to push through and get things done and figure it out on the run while shooting for a moving target, right? Like, that's just the way a lot of us entrepreneurs go about it. And you were one of the first ones that I saw do that hand for hand. And so the first things first, you have a beta program when it comes to migration. The second thing is considering launching some sort of an affiliate movement, whatever that looks like. Then What is the third thing that you can tell an agency that's looking at migrating out of traditional agency into SaaS?
Yeah, totally. Okay. So I will say I migrated completely out of agency. And when I say completely, you know, there's still those clients here or there that you just have a heart for and you want to help, right? Yeah. So I can't say that I've completely abandoned it, but I did have sort of a line in the sand mentally for myself. And that was when the revenue from the SaaS outperformed the agency.
Nice. And it's one thing to like talk about it and see other people do it, but it's a whole different ballgame for you to see the book of business shifting.
Yes. And it was a lot. It was really exciting for me when I, you know, and honestly, it didn't even occur to me until we did our taxes. You know, you actually look at all the numbers and that's when I saw, oh my goodness. Okay. I don't have to be sort of this, and I don't necessarily want to say this, but basically like, I felt like I was a slave to agency.
Yeah.
Right. I know, you know, how we've had a conversation about that. So
I mean, you get drowned in the fulfillment, you know,
yes, and you pick up
the phone calls when the clients are calling you at 9 o'clock. And we know there's, regardless of what you do, there's going to be churn in the agency game. Sometimes that extra pay is nice and not bad. It's tempting, but we know the territory of what that brings.
Yeah. For me, it was really this stress of performance. Even though, you know, I can produce and I can get the results, but it's just that, you know, that stress that just sits on the shoulders at all times. And it was really nice to lift that and let that go. And now, not to say there's not stress with SaaS, but it's just a different animal.
It is. Yeah. Cause your stress on SaaS is customer satisfaction,
right?
And success in how they use the platform.
Yeah.
Versus if you're running Facebook ads, you're dependent on algorithm. You're dependent on so many third-party variables that you can't really control, where client success and their journey, you can control inside SaaS.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. You just hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard it articulated like that, but that's exactly right.
So what about the clients that you cannot let go? What does the fulfillment look like? I assume you might've productized some of this service and kind of eased up the fulfillment, but let's say you want to keep, like, I don't know, a small amount of clients that you just can't say no to. What should that look like? What is the territory there?
So I'm probably not the best to answer this, because I just have such a big heart and I want to help everyone. And I have a hard time saying no.
Yep.
it's a catch-22 for me. So I'll just share my experience. There were clients that I had that I was pretty much done with, like internally, but I loved them and I loved them as people. I loved working with them. They're great individuals, but I was just like, you know, the creativity wasn't there anymore for me. It was just sort of burnt out on that. And I don't know if it was God or what, but it was just like, they had, even some of these had internal transitions happen. Like, oh, we don't need you anymore. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm so sorry. Like, it's like, okay. Right. And then others were, they were contract based anyway. And so I just didn't press to extend the contract, where I was like, okay, are you guys good? Like, I just, you know, try to like offboard them, encouraging them that they could do this on their own, or, you know, they have the tools. And so instead of, I guess, selling to keep the clients on, it was just sort of a natural offboarding for me. That's how I did it. I don't, right or wrong, that's how I did it.
Got it. I think that worked out in your favor based on the relationships you have, right? Do you recommend anybody right-sizing existing customers into SaaS? Like, let's say they're there for like $2,000 Facebook ads. Does it make sense for someone to downsell them into SaaS at a low ticket or a mid ticket? Like I am personally, you know, I think it's doable. You got to just move with caution, but I'm always curious to hear agency owners' thoughts on this.
So when I was finally making the transition, where I was like, okay, we can make this transition now. I feel comfortable. Revenue's there. You know, we're great. A lot of the clients I had for agency were already on SaaS for me.
Gotcha.
So that was already, so they, I think that was an easier transition for them anyway, because they knew they could still sort of get my attention if they needed within SaaS, because I do a strategy call once a month. So they knew, okay, I at least still have her ear. I'm not completely on the island on my own. So those people, that was an easy transition, where I just didn't basically continue to sell them on the agency side, where I'm like, okay, we're great. You know, you got it. The others, they just weren't a good fit for the type of client that I like to have on SaaS. You know, a lot of my agency clients, as you know, Paulson, many of them were big international brands, you know, different languages, different things going on, I didn't really have a niche on my agency side. I did start out in the dental space, but then I quickly expanded. And so those that just didn't fit well into my current SaaS niche, yeah, I didn't sell them into that.
Yeah.
A lot of them already had their solutions anyway.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes total sense. What are some other things that an agency owner should think about? Because I know this for a fact, in the first like 4 or 5 months of you transitioning your whole book of business, I remember having conversations with you and you would hit me up randomly. Hey, this thing is not working. That's not working. And I'm like, oh yeah, she's going through the trenches of moving over an entire fulfillment. You're reconfiguring your assembly line, right? And mm-hmm. tell us about that, because that's the ugly side of SaaS when it comes to migration. And I think a lot of agency owners should be realistic with what they're signing up for.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You're just bringing me back. I actually remember talking to you, Paulson, on the phone, and I'm at a mastermind in Orlando. And I'm pacing around the pool of this like house, having this internal struggle. I'll always remember that. So, you know, really what it comes down to is, for me, I was hesitant to go all in on SaaS. I was very hesitant. And here it was almost like, I don't know what to compare it to. I would be like 95% there. Okay, I'm going to do it. And then a little bug would happen. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know. Is this, I don't think that, maybe this isn't it. Maybe this is a sign. Right? I'm like, Paulson, the campaigns are, this is, you know, and okay, like, well, maybe not. And so I would back off and I would just kind of stay in my lane with agency, with my clients, take on new clients. And then, and so, cause I started High Level back in 2019, right? And so basically from summer of 2019 to summer of 2020, I had this internal struggle of, do I go all in on SaaS or do I not? Do I go all in or not? And I got really close a couple of times and then I backed off. And
so is that a mental thing where you're like, okay, do I want to climb this mountain that I really see like a lot of great things on the other side? I see other people talk about it. But when I go into the nitty gritty of building this thing, it seems like it's over my head. Like that mental struggle, I hear it all the time.
Yes. And I see it in the Facebook group of people. Do I go all in on SaaS or do I do affiliate? And I was there, like hands down, I was there. I was thinking, maybe I just do affiliate. Maybe I just go all in on the affiliate side. Because I had an agency and I was successful, I had a lot of people coming to me. I was mentoring them one-on-one, right? Consulting with them one-on-one. And I thought, well, you know, I could just do the affiliate. But here's the deciding factor for me. The reason that I didn't do affiliate and I did SaaS is because I want to create something that has a legacy that if I want to sell it in 5 years and 10 years down the road, there's actually a business there to sell.
Yeah, that I think that's the biggest thing, because the affiliate side, you're really just bringing business into high level. You're building high level's book of business. It's not a bad thing. Obviously, you get 40%. You're building a great lifestyle, but you're not going to be able to go sell your affiliate commissions like that. That doesn't happen. Anybody can just come into high level or any other platform for that matter and build an affiliate marketing. Now, if you have good traction, good audience, and you want to launch it, and that's a great revenue source, I don't have anything against it. But with SaaS, we see people, you know, making $5-6 million exits as white labeled high level SaaS. Like it's insane. And you know, and we're starting to see stories like that all the time. And it's not a new concept anymore. At first, we're like, holy moly, what are the regulations on this look like? What are the compliance? Let's get all the paperwork ready. But now it's like, oh yeah, that's a normal thing. Of course, people want to sell their SaaS book of business. What brought you over that mountain? Then you're like, you know what? I'm just going all in. But what do I need to do? Like, what does that look like? Tell us about that, how you made that decision.
So I think because I got so close to that decision multiple times over the course of that year, that when I had launched my high ticket coaching program and just like, honestly, Paulson, I was doing a live and I just mentioned that, oh, I have this, this software I use, is everything included? And you know, all my clients are on it. And then I just like kept going with my training and people were blowing up the chat. Where's the link? What is it? What's the name of it? We want it. Da, da, da. I had emails. I was like, oh my gosh, that's my answer. That's my answer right there. Yeah. People want to buy this from me because of me suggesting it to them.
Yeah.
And so that was my decision. Okay, we're doing SaaS. And I went fully into that. And honestly, I was like, dang it, I have this coaching program now though.
You really want to sell your time for $5,000 instead, but SaaS made sense.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had the coaching program is great, but I don't know. That's like a whole nother beast. I'm personally realized I'm not built for that. I had my high ticket coaching program for about a year and a half. And then I sunset that bad boy and was like, I am done.
Yeah. Not doing that again. Yeah, I mean, even if it's a great experience, and I know you've coached me in the past, so I know you're a great coach in general, like you're a great mentor, and it's something you like. But the thing is, you're selling your time, and it's not a scalable model. Like even if you brought in 10 other coaches, their times are still limited on a 9-to-5, right? Like there's no way to just skyrocket into, now we see people with like 4,000 accounts. It's insane, you know? So like, there's no way you can compete with a book of business at that size. So it's amazing to see this journey kind of unfold. And I know you're coming in October on stage and we're going to do interviews there. I'm in a sense, I'm like, so proud of the fact that I feel like I've known and seen your journey evolve for a long time, But the other thing is you did it the right way. You went through your own experiences. You launched so many different offers and so many agency models and different things. And you're at SaaS now. And maybe 2-3 years later, SaaS is a normal thing and nobody's excited about it. And maybe we're on to something else. But for the current being, I'm so excited to be part of that journey. I'm excited to have you at the summit. And you know, we're going to have a great time in Dallas for sure.
Yes. I am so thrilled to be part of the SaaS panel. I mean, I'm really, really excited. I'm excited to hear what the others have to say as well. I mean, I'm a student at heart. I know I don't know everything. I only know my experience, and I'm definitely excited to share that.
And the way we've designed it is pretty cool. Like we have like a mastermind style on one side where for those that just want to get on your laptop and start building. And we have like a party side for the other who just wants to have a bunch of drinks and dance around and network, right? So we'll have both sides. It's pretty interesting how we did it the first year. This year is just going to be like that on steroids. So I'm so excited to get that going. So any last words to those established agencies that are figuring out ways to migrate fully into SaaS? And we'll close out after that.
I think the first thing is you just have to make the decision that that's the direction you want to go. Like me, it was like, okay, we're doing this. I'm all in 100%. We're not looking back. We're not going to get to the edge and then come back. No, I jumped off the ledge and we're doing this. So that's number one, just make the decision to go all in. And then number two, I think the other thing that's really, really helped me is to find incredible people to do this with me. I have an amazing team. I love every single one of them. And I'm loyal to them. They're loyal to me. We're building this thing together. And I really see us as a team. I know they're like, oh, you're the boss, but I try not to be like the boss, right? I try to be like, we're all a team. We're team members. We're doing this together. We're all, you know, here together and just moving forward. So I would say, make sure you have people who are in your corner, ready to do this with you, because you can't do it alone.
Those are facts for sure. And even at this level, it's important to build the culture. Like we're at a point where it's almost very corporate-ish sometimes, because there's like 650 employees full time. And back when we first started, it was like 5-6 of us, you know, and the camaraderie then versus creating a new camaraderie today, it's quite the challenge. So what you have to do is have leaders in pockets that have a cultural sense of what the company is about, and then they kind of lift you up. But Roxanne, I am so happy we got to do a podcast together and kind of outline your journey. So we appreciate you sharing from it. And how can people get a hold of you if they want to reach out and, you know, figure out things or reach out to you for, I don't know, consulting. I don't even know if you sell anything anymore, but.
I mean, besides SaaS, I have consulting hours. If anyone wants to just jump on a call and yeah. I'm an open book, I'll share anything. So they can find me on Instagram, RoxanneRay.co is my Instagram handle. And I can give you a link to get onto my calendar. And that's pretty much it besides SaaS. And I also have another business that's unrelated to all this that I do that's more of a passion project. So
awesome. Well, thank you, Roxy. Take care. I'll be in touch. I'm looking forward to seeing you in Dallas for the summit, which is High Level's conference. And if anybody's watching and you're brand new to High Level, you don't even have an account, I'm pretty sure you can sign up for a 14-day trial or something in the YouTube channel or go to the website. But anyways, have a good rest of your day, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. We'll be right back.